51 days to kick off, so we're talking a lot of football. And Bill finally has someone to carry him through a segment. That's good news.
Yes, I worked hard and finally tackled somebody. We're talking about that. I tackled a good friend, Barrett Salih from the Bleacher Report, who has been around here. And let's ask the important questions real quick, Barrett.
Are there important questions?
There's two important questions that we got to get to. One, you're drinking coffee. I've been picked on all week because this is not my brand. I like Dunkin' Donuts,
sure,
vanilla cupcake with a little cream and sugar. Is that acceptable?
That's acceptable.
Okay.
I'm just coffee black, dark coffee black, okay, because I have no idea if this is actually true. I once heard that it actually is very good for you to have black coffee. It speeds up your metabolism and doesn't give you a lot of calories. So that's what I drink. It may be for completely bogus reasons, but I don't care at this point.
Okay. All right. So one vote for me, Tim and Jen. That's good news for me. Barrett says perfectly okay, and I'm going to just take his words and morph them a little bit. That means the nickname Cupcake that I've acquired completely unnecessary. Also, last night, I noticed on Twitter you guys were having a bachelor or bachelorette?
We had a bachelorette viewing. This is a real thing that happened at Media Days. We had a bachelorette viewing party at the hotel bar because it's America's finest comedy, as we all know. And it was either that or listen to Chris Berman yell back, 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 back about 5,000 times. And so the funny thing is we probably had a total of 30 people actually hang out for a little while. By the end, it was 9 dudes and 3 girls.
Okay. All right. So this is what happens at Media Day.
These are important things that happen here.
This is for the behind the scenes of what goes on at Media Day as you're listening and on your drive in this morning. If you're like my father, you'll watch on your iPad throughout the day. Now there are actually football related things. Georgia shows up this morning. Texas A&M, Tennessee, Mississippi State. I said Georgia is the one I'm interested to see the most. Kirby Smart's appearance, the arrests recently. I'm sure he's gonna have to answer that. The quarterback situation. Do you agree with that, or is there somebody you're more interested to hear today?
Yeah, I want to hear Kirby for a couple of reasons. One, I've talked to him a lot this offseason, and he's very much a Steve Spurrier-ish type person.
Okay.
I think there's a misconception about Kirby that he's sort of, you know, Nick Saban light or Diet Saban, and that's not him at all. And so I think he's going to be a guy who steps up here and has a little fun, you know, has a good time and impresses people with who he is. So people that haven't covered him this offseason really don't know that because, you know, Nick Saban doesn't let his assistants talk. So we're excited about that. Excited about Mississippi State just because they always seem to have some sort of edge in terms of creating some fun here, which I'm all for.
Right.
You know, yesterday was kind of like Auburn is Auburn, and, yeah, and Florida, for the most part, like Jim McElwain's good, but the players don't really want to get into anything. Mississippi State will change that. Vandy was fun yesterday. But and then Tennessee and A&M, you know, Tennessee handling expectations, they're going to be good because those guys, by and large, are well-schooled on how to be ambassadors to the program. And A&M, I'm really excited about Trevor Knight and really Kevin Sumlin, but we talked to Kevin Sumlin a little bit this offseason. Anyway, I mean, Trevor Knight's a guy who people don't realize is one of the most impressive players you'll ever get to talk to. He's been at Media Days for the Big 12 twice, once when he was a backup quarterback. They just still brought him. He's been the captain twice at Texas A&M, once when he was the backup quarterback. And I said this when they signed him. He doesn't have to be the guy to beat Alabama. He's got to be that guy occasionally. But his most important work is done from January to a month and a half from now. And having him around that program during this time is something you can't even put a value on.
He's Barrett Salih joining us this morning here at SEC Media Day. He'll head upstairs in just a little while as Georgia arrives not too far from now, about an hour and a half. Locally for us, the South Carolina Gamecocks, Will Muschamp will be here on Thursday. A lot of talk about, one, him getting just getting another opportunity. Your thoughts on him just getting another opportunity in the SEC one year removed from what happened at Florida?
I was surprised that it happened. You know, this business is very, you know, it's very groupthinky. So, like, you know, just because you had a one bad round does not make you a bad coach. And I think for Will Muschamp, you know, I was surprised that it happened so quickly. With that said, I think it's a little bit unfair of how we label coaches. Will Muschamp, I think, made a lot of really smart decisions his final year at Florida, going to an up-tempo, getting Kurt Roper, letting Jeff Driskel be who he was supposed to be. Jeff Driskel just wasn't that good in that system, and they had some injuries, and it just fell apart. I think part of the reason it fell apart was because Will Muschamp mentally was not ready to actually fully embrace that and be a head coach and a CEO with that mindset. I think he is now, and we've talked to him a couple times this offseason, and it seems like he's more willing to let Kurt do his thing and be a little more aggressive, go for it on fourth down, you know, don't punt when you're, you know, on the plus side of the 50, you know, things like that still stuck with him his final year at Florida. I think the reality and the culture shock of actually getting fired, then actually being with Auburn last year, which is a little bit more of an aggressive, even though they struggled, that's Gus Malzahn's got an offensive mindset. I think that's going to help him. So, you know, it's going to take some time. The talent's not there, and so it's going to take some time. But I think Will knows that, and he's going to, I think, you know, operate in a way that I think, you know, at least here on media days, that, you know, shows that he's changed from a mindset standpoint.
You go back today, and again, we're joined by Barrett Salee of the Bleacher Report. Just a few minutes left with him. He's got to get upstairs. A lot going on today here in Birmingham as we get ready for Georgia in about an hour and a half. You mentioned Kurt Roper. I think we know what we're going to get from Will Muschamp and Travaris Robinson in terms of the defense.
Sure.
We've seen that. Kurt Roper's kind of an unknown. I kind of compare him to Kirby Smart just in that he was at Alabama under Nick Saban. We know Nick Saban's a defensive genius. Roper was under Cutcliffe, who we consider an offensive genius. So what's your expectation for Kurt Roper in 2016 and even moving forward?
I think he's a good coach. I think he's got to find his quarterback. And I think the quarterback's there. I think Brandon McElwain's a really good player. He's a true freshman on a team that is really, really inexperienced. So the biggest challenge for Kurt Roper is to make sure that Brandon McElwain does not get in his own head. And I don't think he will. He's a, you know, smart kid, but he's gonna get beat up. He's gonna get frustrated. He's going to have some major growing pains, not because of stuff that he can or can't do, but just the limitations that entire roster faces. So Kurt Roper's biggest challenge is to coach his players between the ears, because it's not going to be a quick fix. They don't have the receivers. They don't have the running backs. I don't even think they have the offensive line, although that is the most experienced part of their team. He's going to have to be a part-time sports psychologist, because it's going to be tough.
Bowl eligibility, the best they can, I mean, 6-6, or do you think this is a team that could get to 7 or 8 wins, or is that just too far asking?
I think 7 or 8's really aggressive. That's the ceiling if everything goes right, and a lot of things in the SECs go south elsewhere. They could get to that point. I think they're more of like a 5-7, catch a couple breaks, go 6-6 team.
Real quick, and then I don't know if Tim or Jen's got a call for your bachelorette question or a football question they want to ask, but the opening game against Vanderbilt, after listening to Vanderbilt yesterday and what you know, your expectation for that game?
I love Vandy. Vandy's going to, I think, win that game handily.
Really?
Vandy's a good team. Vandy was a really good 4-8 team last year. I know people are like, oh, it's Vandy. They had the fourth best red zone defense in terms of touchdown percentage. They had nationally. They had the sixth best third down defense nationally. They have a 1,000-yard running back who literally had no help. They've got a stable quarterback who's pretty darn good. He wasn't great last year, but he's got upside. Vandy, I think, is unfortunately, like, I know I'm in the minority, and it may be like a bandwagon by the end of talking season. I think that team's going to be pretty darn good.
Okay. When you say pretty darn good, 7-6, maybe 7-5. All right, Tim, Jen, anything you want to add here, coffee related or bachelorette or Vandy, South Carolina?
Yeah, just a quick follow up there, especially knowing how you see the first game for the Gamecocks, Barrett. Where do you see the perception from the outside about Will Muschamp and how much patience the South Carolina fan base will have for him? Dennis Dodd came up with his article recently and gave Muschamp a 3 on his hot coaching scale of 0 to 5. Where do you see that as far as his perception and how patient the Gamecock fan base will be?
See, I think they'll be more patient than that. I think, you know, the last couple of seasons, I think most South Carolina folks that I've talked to recognize the talent's not there. You know, I think 2 years ago I picked him to go 6-6, and people picked him to win the SEC East here, and people thought I was crazy. It's like, look, Jadeveon Clowney did a lot of things for that entire roster that helped the entire roster, and there's just not that talent there. So I think that recognition's there after the last couple of seasons. So I think there's more patience than that, but – again, lose to Vandy in the season opener, I think the story probably will be, you know, South Carolina and Will Muschamp and how he's not ready, whereas it probably should be that Vandy's better than people realize.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated for your time and for taking it easy on Bill. Thank you, because the rest of us don't do that.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and I'm glad he jumped on me with it. He jumped on my side with the coffee. I feel better about a lot of tweets coming in. Barrett, appreciate it.
Anytime.
I look forward to hanging around with you the rest of the week.
Yep.
That's Bill Gunter. Barrett Salee joining us here on the all-new early game. It's 107.5 The Game. Much more from Birmingham as we roll on here on 107.5 The Game.